Good morning. My name is Carol, and I will be your conference operator today. At this time, I would like to welcome everyone to the Legend Power Systems Fiscal Year 2016 Financial Results Release and Conference Call. All lines have been placed on mute to prevent any background noise. After the speaker's remarks, there will be a question-and-answer session. If you would like to ask a question during this time, simply press star, then the number one on your telephone keypad. If you would like to withdraw your question, please press the pound key. Thank you. Mr. Buckhamer, you may begin your conference.
Thank you, Carol. Welcome, everyone, to our fiscal 2016 Q4 and year-end Legend Power Systems conference call. My name is Randy Buckhamer, as I was introduced by Carol, and I'm President and CEO of the company. And with me is our CFO and recently also adding the CEO title, Steve Vanry. And he'll cover the financials and the MD&A in more detail than I will. We're pleased to provide this update, and it will support the Q4 and year-end financials, the MD&A, and press release information that went out earlier today. Again, we thank you for your interest and support, and we value this opportunity to communicate with you and update you on Legend's business progress during 2016 and our planned focus areas for 2017. I will also highlight several significant areas of progress that we believe are critical for Legend's growth. But I'll first start by addressing some of the obvious questions that an investor would have after reviewing our 2016 Q4 and year-end public information. My summary will have four components. There's a lot to talk about, so I will say up front to beg your patience as we go through the summary. But I think there's a lot of information, some good detail that we would like to share with you. Fiscal 2016 was a transitional period from a startup or R&D company that was seeking proof of concept and what we call market validation to a successful going concern company. Legend is creating, or we call it pioneering, a new market class. And many of the issues that we experienced as part of the journey to become a leading organization are part of the things that we have experienced in 2016 and 2017. But the fact that we're aware of the challenges and we are proactively managing them as best we can is critical. So the four components are, one, I'd like to provide an explanation or refreshing of our business cycle, the key steps that we have from order to payment and revenue recognition, and the various steps of the cycle that do affect rev rec. It's important, I think, that we preface our discussions with appreciation for the unique aspects of our business cycle. Two is we'll talk about the impact of the business cycle and new auditor's rev rec policies on 2016 Q4, and fiscal year-end financials. Three, I'll review the five critical pillars that we established to enable significant growth. And four, we'll take a future look at 2017 of our key focus areas. The business cycle. Again, some detail here, but we believe it's important for you to understand our business cycle and the challenges of being a market class pioneer. A customer basically provides Legend with an order for a product and installation of the product. We place an internal order to build a system in our assembly group. This system is built and it will be shipped to the customer's building for an agreed upon installation date. Legend or the customer then has two options. Either Legend chooses a contractor to do the installation, or the customer chooses an installer, which usually means they're a first-time installer, which historically has led to first-time challenges like overcharging to cover the unknown, wrong materials might be used, and other first-time mistakes, etc. But in the customer's eyes, Legend is held accountable, even though the customer insisted on using his contractor. One example I will use, I traveled for Christmas, saw one customer back east, two schools. We had sold the systems to the school. They chose to have their own contractor put them in. We'd give them a quote of $25,000 per school, so two schools, $25,000. They ended up paying $63,000 per school. And that was a first-time installer that they had dealt with, and it was all rework and recabling and things that were mistakes because they were a first-time installer. So it does have significant impact in different examples. In that example, by the way, our norm was 10 to 25 on over 20 schools, and that customer paid $63 per school. So it gives you an idea of the overcosts that can occur. So then the installer, once we get the quotes, or at least decide who is doing the installation for the customer, they do an on-site visit, they produce a quote, This was previously done after the customer already had a quote from Legend, and that caused some cost overruns, which were applied back to Legend and therefore reducing our margins. Legend then provides a PO to the installation contractor. Contractor applies for building electrical permits and then books the inspector's time to visit the site at the appropriate stages of installation. Shutdown dates were roughened, and installations are tentatively booked, although, again, many times more than one shutdown may be required. Legend ensures the numerous steps are performed by customer, things like we make sure a notice of shutdown has gone out to tenants, things like that, and the contractor orders and delivers materials to the site. The physical installation is that the product's now in the building, shutdown dates are booked and planned, but historically, again, there can be a heat wave, there can be a cold snap, there can be a tenant issue, there can be inspector challenges, and the shutdown can be delayed. If it's delayed, all the next steps have to be rescheduled based on numerous people's schedules and the customer's building and tenant approval. So that can impact the time to get the product physically up and running. Some customers at this point ask for us to build them. We had one just the other day, a customer that's actually, the system has just been delivered, it's not up and running, and they sent a check for it. We love it, but that happens occasionally. And it's due to budget cycles, and in fact, for us, it's a prepay for the system. So we can't rev rec it for the period. Obviously, from an accounting perspective, it's treated as a prepaid and or deferred revenue with a future completion date. When the system eventually gets commissioned, our term for live and performing properly, again, may not be able to rev rec it because the customer and the accountant sides could still potentially return the system if the performance is not achieved. That's never happened at Legend, but it is believed as a possibility from the accounting. Our MNV, or verification of system performance, is done. We do the energy savings incentive forms are completed, and they are finalized and submitted to the utility. Again, some customers say they won't pay until the incentive dollars are received, and just from a range, it's taken as long as 6 months to 1 month to get that turnaround. If the customer finally gets the incentive dollars, some customers have someone higher in the organization that says, we'd like some tweaks or technical support before we final sign off. They may be on a performance evaluation against agreed objectives, and the payment cycle can be 4 to 6 months. During the numerous events and issues addressed, accounts receivable look longer, and we are questioned whether they are bad receivables by external auditors. The impact of the business cycle and the new auditor's rev rec policies on Q4 and fiscal and financials, and again, Steve will provide a detailed rev rec explanation during his update, but there is no blanket approach to rev rec as every transaction is independently analyzed against rev rec criteria. The reason behind this is that we do not have a standard transaction, and each transaction will be individually reviewed. So with the above business cycle explanation review fresh, let's discuss the obvious 2016 revenue questions from our financial information. I'll let Steve do the 2015 rev restatement as it's outside of the period. Firstly, let's be clear. We're not pleased with our revenue numbers, and even though we have significant sales commitments that do not show in our rev rec sale numbers, the entire business team is committed to making the necessary actions to achieve our sale goals. We have made changes to our sales team, and we will do what is necessary and needed to hit our revenue targets. So the question, why were Q4 revenues below expectations? Firstly, we appointed Ian Weiser auditors beginning year-end 2016. Ian Y introduced more stringent rev rec policies after our year-end, which led to a transition phase on how we treated rev rec. We had to relook at previously done deals during fiscal 2016 and Q4, and numerous deals were pulled, about 300,000, which under the new rev rec policy did not meet full rev rec standards, according to the new auditors. Of the about 300, none is lost business. It's just deferred business, and it will be recognized at various times during 2017. Also, July and August have historically been slower times for Legend orders, although we received numerous orders during August and early September. We could not perform all the items necessary to meet the rev rec and have the deals for the period. We did receive customer commitments during the quarter for about $750,000, which we recognized during 2017. We continue to get decent order flow and follow-on commitments, and we expect a significant increase in sales during fiscal 2017. I think the next question I would ask would be, why were margins reported at 30.3% in 2016? Again, we had new auditors, and they made policy changes to the way we were calculating gross margins. Specifically, for the first time, we had inventory write-downs charged against our gross margins. Although previous inventory write-downs were smaller, we previously treated the inventory write-downs as an extraordinary event and did not affect gross margins. They were below the line. Inventory write-downs were about $179,000. Our inventory control system manual that proved to be inaccurate over time, and when we moved to our new premises in April 2016, we forced a long-needed inventory cleanup and reconciliation. Write-downs were high as we wrote down older inventory used on earlier product versions that were improved upon over time, and some inventory became obsolete. We've added a manager to lead our production, our assembly, inventory processes, with great early success, including a professional assembly area. Also note, margins consist of two components, product costs and installation costs. We call it our blended margins. It is our plan to eventually develop a reseller network that will form installations for customers, and Legend will only provide the product. However, we do both now, product installation, and those costs go into our gross margins. Again, the blended margin term that we use. For competitive and customer reasons, we like a blended margin approach, but you should know that when we do an invoice for a customer for installation cost, many times we have made poor or no margins on installations as a service to the customer. This will change in 2017, and I will address it later, but gross margins were significantly negatively affected with combining the low margin third-party installation business with product costs. Again, our product gross margins alone are about 60 to 65%. We also incurred some losses on installations with the 2,000 and 2,500 amp systems that we introduced during 2016. That was a new league, if you will, of large systems for us. And we underestimated some technical issues that affect the large system installations that did not occur with small or medium systems. They're part of the learning curve of introducing and installing large amp systems, and they will not be repeated. In FY 2017, Q2, we will be introducing our own Ontario-based internal installation team to ensure we do perform an installation that we can achieve 30 to 50% margins where it makes sense for us to do a direct installation. We have added a proven operations executive who ran the Asia Pacific region for a large international company, and he will be implementing changes to our system, our processes and practices to ensure our field operation team is providing leading and profitable margin services to our customers. He starts February 1st. He will be our director of customer support. Fiscal 2016 was a positive and transformative year for Legend. Our product became more widely accepted as a proven energy saver in Ontario commercial buildings, and for the first time, we achieved real order flow. A game changer brought to light by our commitment to product innovation and operational excellence. Corporately, we established what we believe are the five pillars critical for significant sales growth and future success: product excellence, operational capacity, strong sales and marketing capabilities and systems, excellent people development platforms, and appropriate working capital. With the solid foundations in place, we see 2017 as a year to shift our focus to the pursuit of rapid and sustainable sales growth as a leader in energy-saving solutions, while we continue to focus on operational best practices and developing our people. With product excellence, our products consistently meet or exceed customer expectations in a broad spectrum of commercial buildings in multiple market verticals. We filed additional patents for product innovations and architectural improvements that will be incorporated in our next-gen product we expect to release to the market by October 1, 2017. The new platform will provide additional energy savings for our customers' buildings, decrease our cost of goods sold, provide an interface to visually present useful data for our customers to directly manage their building's electrical environments, and be a platform that allows customers to seamlessly integrate various electrical efficiency technologies beyond our existing capabilities. We expect our significantly enhanced next-gen technology to empower us to continually expand our intellectual property and patent portfolio. The new architecture will improve our depth of capability, offering rapid revenue growth through expanded market reach. Our operational capacity has been significantly improved. Our product assembly capacity has been improved through new operating systems, processes, and skill enhancement programs. Right before Christmas, I took a picture of 10 systems going out the door on the loading dock, and those all were produced within a two-week period. We're well positioned with the capacity to attain at least a tenfold sales growth increase volume, and it'll offer improved margins with a minimal increase in variable costs and no need for additional capital investment. Our ability to deliver on time and well-executed installation services has been strengthened through our core partner relationships with electrical contractors and establishment of our newly in-house install team that will begin in Q2 2017. We've also got a mutually beneficial relationship with strong electrical partners and provides us the additional benefit of feeding our referral and reseller opportunities to our sales funnel. We've enhanced our sales operations capabilities with the addition of a seasoned energy industry operations professional, as I mentioned, as the Director of Customer Support. We've also, with Steve being CFO and taking on the role of COO, put strong leadership in place to ensure operations is effective and timely. We believe the area that we've got to improve upon and grow upon is our sales capabilities. And during 2016, we expanded the number of verticals we had sold into a total of 13 verticals, each with a minimum of one unit sold and a key recommender account established. We also achieved our goal of at least three follow-on orders during the year. Two distinct school districts, follow-on orders, and a large retailer made a national presence with Legend equipment. The growth in the number of key recommenders representing multiple verticals has really provided a critical third-party product endorsement that we needed to propel product sales. Additionally, some of the key recommenders, as I mentioned earlier, will evolve to represent Legend and our solutions in distinct, geographically dispersed areas as independent resellers. In 2016 year, the sales team made strong progress. We do expect significant sales growth in 2017 due to the addition of an experienced director of marketing that will lead the implementation of our marketing plan and a restructuring of our personnel within our sales team. We've made some changes, and by having our new and first director of marketing come in, we now can take the pioneering aspect of awareness and education in the marketing cycle and get more people to be aware of what Legend does, which will propel the sales. We also, as I mentioned, hired an executive in Toronto to build out our sales support team, and we will be more customer-focused. We will have repeatable business development and field operations, and we will drive an improved customer experience, and it will expedite our multi-region U.S. growth and shorten the timeline from first order to installation. With people development, we're dedicated to constantly improving the Legend team and ensuring we're viewed by top talent as the right place, right time for an outstanding career opportunity. Richard Whitehead and Dale Peterson, two of the latest introductions as our Director of Customer Support, Director of Marketing, had multiple opportunities and decided to join Legend because they thought the opportunity was very, very strong. So we are now being able to attract talent that we couldn't a year ago. Recent expansion of our team and a mentality of hiring from within where it is appropriate has empowered our people to step into important leadership roles and applying their breadth of experience and can-do attitude in new and exciting challenges. As many of you do know, we received $3 million, $2.9 million, due to exercising a warrant during fiscal 2016 and in Q1 2017. So we have the appropriate working capital to confidently implement our business plan. Over the last 12 months, we were obsessed with ensuring the critical pillars for business success were established and constantly strengthened to support our business plan. It didn't happen overnight, and the process is by no means complete, but we're committed to ensuring our business is built on a strong foundation for achieving the success we envision and will manifest for 2017 and beyond. Those critical pillars, those five critical things we reviewed, you cannot build a successful company from proof of concept or startup to going concern without those established pillars. We thank you for your support during the last year, particularly our dedicated shareholders. We now have a going concern organization with a team that's excited, dedicated, and capable of making Legend Power an outstanding organization. Looking forward to some brief points, and I'll turn it over to Steve. We're focusing on growing sales, both in Ontario and a U.S. expansion. We will build out our sales team. We will introduce numerous creative marketing programs. We will improve our reseller commitments and order flow. We will develop strong two-way commitment from key partners, where they will provide services to us, and they will also open up their order book with people to do business or have high costs in the electrical energy areas. We have significant product feature enhancements and performance improvements coming. We will introduce a Legend Power installation team to significantly increase our installation margins and allow Legend to better control the customer experience. We expect to achieve profitability through increased sales, improving margins, and controlling costs. And we will be looking at ways to improve shareholder value and get out and talk to the marketplace, in the U.S. included, to effectively communicate our progress to the appropriate audiences. We now are a few months into our relationship with Sophie Capital, and they are a great partner for that particular discipline. In Ontario, products growing, the interest, the acceptance, we need to continue the sales growth, build out existing accounts, work with the key influencer recommenders to grow commitment to Legend, just continue to work with utilities and center providers, build the sales growth and reseller channels, increase our sales activities, and for the first time, we're actually getting down to a science so we know how many calls it takes to get an appointment, how many appointments it takes to get an assessment, how many assessments to get a proposal. So we're actually, for the first time, able to scientifically or from a marketing point of view, measure the criteria of activities against sales. We'll also leverage our new marketing capabilities to support rapid growth and adding two technicians to perform assessments and improve proposal turnaround in the marketplace. We also have shipped our large system to our customer in the U.S., and we are awaiting performance results, and we're excited about that. We have our entry plan into the Northeast USA region. We will add at least one business manager in the U.S., one sales engineer in fiscal 2017. That's the highlights and summary. Thank you again. We appreciate your ongoing support. And again, I'll just mention that we recognize that being a market and product pioneer has its challenges. But as we prove ourselves, the rewards to the pioneers are significant. Introduce Steve again to speak about the financials. Steve?
Thanks, Randy, and welcome, everyone. We thank you for your interest in Legend Power Systems and for taking the time to participate in this call. Legend is going through significant transformation as our sales grow and the company becomes a going concern, which has led naturally to a more robust internal approach to our financial reporting. This, combined with a move to Ernst & Young as our new auditors this year, resulted in the development of comprehensive internal guidelines as to how we monitor and apply revenue recognition criteria. These new guidelines led to the restatement of our fiscal 2015 results and the adjustments associated with certain deals signed in fiscal 2016. We feel this is a healthy process that in the long run will be a benefit to the company. Excuse me. Given that revenue recognition plays such a significant role in our financial results, I thought it might be useful to share with you the overarching five criteria that must all be met in order to recognize revenue from the sale of goods. And keep in mind that Legend's revenue is comprised of not just the sale of goods, but also installation services. So, to recognize the sale of goods, all of the following must be satisfied, and they are, number one, the entity has transferred to the buyer the significant risks and rewards of ownership of the goods. Two, the entity retains neither continuing managerial involvement to the degree usually associated with ownership, nor effective control over the goods sold. Three, the amount of revenue can be measured reliably. Four, it is probable that the economic benefits associated with the transaction will flow to the entity. And five, the costs incurred or to be incurred in respect of the transaction can be measured reliably. The criteria for recognizing installation service revenue is equally stringent and has several similar components. So, how did this impact our reported results? The restatement in 2015 was related to a sale whereby there was not complete clarity as to whether or not the risks and rewards of ownership of the goods had been transferred to the buyer before the end of the fiscal year. Two completed sales transactions in 2016 for which there was uncertainty around, when we would be paid by the customer and thus were not recognized. One such customer has now agreed to payment terms and the other we are working with to find a solution. Another was the completion of installation for one sale, which was delayed when the customer completely changed the scope of the project after we delivered the equipment. And another where one customer, which has a hockey rink at its facility, changed the scheduled shutdown of power and installation of our equipment so melting ice would not interfere with hockey-related events. So in sharing these, hopefully these examples provide some clarity as to the high standard required in revenue recognition and why certain transactions didn't fully meet these criteria. The transaction in 2015 that led to the restatement did not end up ultimately closing, but the adjustments that impacted 2016 revenue were related to sales that have not been canceled, and they are expected to eventually meet revenue recognition criteria and be reflected in future results. Within our fiscal year 2016 financial performance highlights, revenue, cost of sales, gross margin percentage, EBITDA, and net loss all showed improvement compared with fiscal 2015. Gross margin percentage in fiscal 2016 was 30%, up from 25% in 2015. However, as Randy mentioned previously, the margin in both periods was materially negatively impacted by inventory write-downs of $179,000 in 2016 and $30,000 in 2015, respectively. Included in the fiscal 2016 loss were several non-cash items, which totaled $696,000. Revenue for the 3 months ended September 30th, 2016 was $42,000, up from $30,000 and change in the same period of 2015. Q4 2016 revenue was significantly lower than the trend that had been established in the prior quarters of 2016, which was due in part to sales being traditionally slower in Q4 and the fact that orders were received later during that quarter, such that installations could not be completed and revenue recognized in that period. Several commitments for later delivery and installation are expected to be recognized in fiscal 2017. Gross margin recorded in Q4 2016 was significantly negatively impacted by the aforementioned inventory write-down, approximately $179,000, which is reflected in the table of quarterly trends on page 9 of our MD&A, as opposed to the table on page 6, where it was inadvertently reflected below the line. We closely monitor operating expenses, which have remained relatively steady for the comparative 3- and 12-month year-over-year periods. Increases were mostly experienced in those areas which are linked to overall higher level of sales and manufacturing activity, such as sales related to travel and salaries through the addition of various personnel. Our expectation is that near-term sales growth could be attained without material increases in operating costs, which would result in continued improvement in operating expenses as a percentage of sales. With reference to the balance sheet, as at September 30th, 2016, the company had working capital of $1.5 million compared with $1.1 million at September 30th of 2015. Working capital was strengthened subsequent to year-end with the receipt of proceeds from warrant exercises in the amount of approximately $2.3 million. Our receivables did grow year-over-year, but have significantly improved in relation to prior periods in 2016. Our collection cycle is still long compared to traditional businesses. However, in cases where the company has received repeat customer orders, the collection cycle has become shorter. We believe the overall trend toward a shorter collection cycle will become entrenched as our customer relationships strengthen and as the perception of our technology moves from risky to innovative, reliable, and effective. As Randy alluded to earlier, I have also taken on the role of Chief Operating Officer for Legend, which in many respects is closely tied to my CFO role. We feel that our future success is tied not only to sales growth, but operational excellence. So together with various group leaders, we will be paying particular attention to inventory management, assembly, order fulfillment, and field operations. Thank you all very much, and back to you, Randy.
Thank you, Steve. Carol, we would be quite pleased to take questions at this time.
Certainly. And as a reminder, if you'd like to ask a question over the phone, please press star followed by the number 1 on your telephone keypad. Again, that's star 1 on your telephone keypad. And we'll pause for just a moment to allow people to queue. And your first question today comes from James Reed from Haywood Securities. Please go ahead. Your line is open.
Hey, guys. I just have a question on this next-gen product that you talked about in the press release. And I'm just curious as to what level of incremental energy savings you're expecting beyond the current 4% to 8% that the Harmonizer is currently receiving. And then, in turn, what you expect this to do to the payback period.
Okay. Thanks, James. Next-gen product is a new architecture, and it has the capabilities we talked about during the call. But directly answering your question, it's about a 25% improvement on the energy savings, and that will vary site by site, but that would be an average we're expecting. And that would mean that you would take your payback down accordingly by about 25%.
Perfect.
So the way we look at it, some of the ones that are 4 years, et cetera, become threes, et cetera. So it's fairly significant to us.
Okay, that's great. And is there anything you're working into the new gen product that will make it easier on the installation side? And I'm just asking this, you know, with reference to potentially, you know, the new product being able to smooth out some of the rev rec or tighten up the payment cycle by making the installation piece easier, more intuitive, or more plug and play.
Yeah, great question. So the way I would answer that is the existing product evolved over time, and it wasn't built from a beginning with that particular attribute. In other words, making the installation easier. So it got adaptations as it went along. The new product is being designed for easy assembly. So in our production assembly, we can put it together in less time, at less cost, with less people interaction, if you will, less amount of sub-assemblies, and most importantly, it's designed for ease of use of installation. There's numerous things that will be incorporated into the product, the design, the actual enclosure, etc., to make it easier to install our product in most environments. There's always sometimes the more difficult situations, but that is the way you look at it from an average to most of our installations. Significant improvement for sure.
Okay, excellent. That's all I had. Thanks, guys.
Thank you.
And again, that's star 1 on your telephone keypad in order to ask a question. And we have no one else in queue at this time.
Okay, let me just give it a second, give people a chance to have a question.
And your next question comes from Horst Hoeknein from Hoeknein & Company. Please go ahead. Your line is open.
Yes, thank you. Randy, you mentioned that you're seeing decent order flow. I'm wondering whether you're in a position to comment on how that translates into a backlog level of some sort in order to help us gauge what the revenue picture might look like for the first and second quarters relative to the same period last year.
Yeah. What we've done is we had a discussion at the board level, and you know, you get into backlog and rev rec and commitments, et cetera. And what we've agreed as an organization to do is to not be forward-looking with it, with exact numbers, et cetera. We can say that we are seeing growth in the sales. I mean, order flow, follow-on. It's really the timing issue for us. It's not the orders. It's the follow-on as far as being able to rev rec it. But put in perspective, rather than a quarter by quarter, we would expect to be somewhere in the neighborhood to a minimum 3 or 4 times our sales for 2016 and 2017. It's probably the best way to do it. We would expect to be exiting 2017 with a significant growth in our run rate. I will say before, of course, we've talked about this from a macro level with other people, but the company has set our internal goal to be on a 100 million run rate by Q4 2020. So that means we have to be doing $20 million in sales. We have walked that back each quarter, each year of what we need to do, and we are comfortable standing by. We believe that we can hit that target, and with the improved marketing and introduction of the awareness and education component and the new sales reps, we can hit that. I think when we get more predictable with the revenue and shorten some of the cycles, et cetera, we can relook at the topic of more forward-looking as far as forecasts and things like that. But it's very difficult at this point, and I would suspect we'll have some lumpiness still for a couple of quarters, but that will get more normalized during 2017.
All right. That's very helpful. One other area I'd like you to comment on, if you can. You mentioned that the installation team is roughly a month away from getting going. Are all the pieces in place now, or are there still operational things you need to do to let that team loose and obviously fix a margin problem which you described?
Sure. The biggest thing, Horace, is we have the talent in Vancouver. We don't have the same level of talent in Toronto, so we needed to get that talent in Toronto. There's a few things we have to get, but they're more nominal purchases of equipment and things that we would add to the team. But it's the ability to have the license to pull the permits, et cetera, in the area. So that was what we were doing when we were searching for people to join the team. And the reason we're doing that is that the third party, as we've talked about, sometimes it's all over the map, and you know, it always comes back to us to eat the overruns, et cetera, when the customer has a higher bill generally. But with the right people on the team and they have the right licensing to pull permits, it is very nominal for us to add the capabilities and or products to the organization. So we're finalizing with people now for the roles, both on the assessment side and the installation side, and those will be implemented in Q2 2017, as I said. So again, very nominal. It's not significant expense, or the barriers are very small for us to do that.
That's good to hear. Thanks, and keep up the good work.
Thank you, Horace.
We have no one else in queue at this time, but again, it's star one in order to ask a question.
Okay, let me just take a last chance to see if there's any last questions. Doesn't appear to be, Carol. Anything on your queue?
I have no one in queue at this time.
Okay. Well, we'll thank everyone for taking the time on the call. Again, we're excited about where we're going. We'd like to be there a little quicker, which is always the case. I've been through this with startups before, and I can say I have that good feeling about Legend Power and where it's at and where we're going. So it's up to us to show the numbers. It's up to us to bring in these large accounts that support that we're doing the right things. But we will do that, and we will continually update you and earn your trust. But we appreciate the support that you've given us to date, and we're always available for questions or anything you might need to ask us about. So again, thank you. Appreciate it, and everyone have a great day.
This concludes today's conference. You may now disconnect.